You can take your Bible back to 2 Peter chapter 1, where we read the scripture this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. I have one of those verses on the screen there that was in that passage, but I'd like you to look at it in your Bible as we consider the Word of God this morning and really take a close look at the Holy Bible. My heart was stirred as I prepared for this message, and I recognize it's got to be a series because there's just no way of really opening up or talking about the scripture and how we got it, what it is, and all of those things. There's just no way without multiple messages because there's so much to cover, and there's so much glorious truth of how God speaks to us and what God wants us to know. And so let's think about the Word of God this morning, all right? I know that the way it should be and the way it is and the way it always has been at Victory Baptist Church is everything that we preach and teach comes from the Bible, and that's the way it should be. Because God's Word is precious. It's a precious book. The word Bible simply means book, but it's a holy book. It is the Holy Bible. Let's consider what the Bible says about itself, of how we got the Bible, or how it came to be, or what it is. And so as we take a close look, let's notice here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Now the Apostle Peter is the one writing these words, penning these words, and he says in verse 16, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." All right, we weren't chasing after some, you know, some crafty story, some, you know, deceptive way of thinking. We haven't followed cunningly devised fables or tales. But this is what we have followed. He says, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, but we were, would you read the last few words there of verse 16? But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What does Peter say they were? We were eyewitnesses. That's right. Eyewitnesses. What the ones, as Peter and the other apostles, as they are considering what they have taught, what they have been sharing with others, they're not sharing cunningly devised fables. They are sharing what they saw. They're not sharing merely what they heard someone say happened hundreds of years ago. They are sharing about Jesus what they saw. And notice what it says in verse 19. He says, we have also, say those next three words, we have a more sure word. A more sure word. More sure than what? More sure than being an eyewitness. In verse 16, he talks about how they're eyewitnesses. In verse 19, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He says, the written word of God, the prophecy that we've shared with you, he said, it is better than being an eyewitness. Now, Peter was an eyewitness, but you know what? Peter also wrote about things that he could not have known by his own eyes and intellect. And Peter identifies for us the fact that the revelation God has given in his holy word is actually better than being an eyewitness. You know, you can have eyewitnesses at the same event, and this one has this perspective, and this one has, and they both might be right, But, you know, you can get a very, I saw, hey, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that happened, right? And the next person says, I was there too. It didn't happen. You know, you can have conflicting eyewitnesses. Now, a unique thing about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is we have those eyewitness accounts, and there's some variation, but they're all in agreement. And that actually gives enormous credibility to any testimony when you have so many witnesses that aren't just duplicates, but have a different perspective, but yet collaborate the same truth. And so that's interesting. But you know what? Peter writes here and he says that the prophecy of the Word of God is more sure than being an eyewitness. That's quite a statement. And it is true. And so notice what he says in verse 19 again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Prophecy is a revelation. The revelation from God. And he says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. We need to listen up to the Word of God because it's from God, because it's authoritative. And he says, we need to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And now he shares some more information in verse 20. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy or no revelation from God of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how did we get the Bible? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us. He says, the prophecy or the revelation came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We identify the fact that God is the author of the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. And some of the ones God used, there were kings who wrote some of the words of the Bible. There were prime ministers, there were priests, there were prophets, there were shepherds and herdsmen, there were physicians, doctors, there were tent makers, fishermen, tax collectors, in all kinds of different parts of the world, from Africa to Asia to Europe to Arabia to Egypt, from the island of Patmos, from Jerusalem to Rome, from Babylon to Mesopotamia, from dungeons of the earth to islands of the earth. Some of these locations, 1,400 miles or more apart. Over a period of more than 1,500 years, by people, many of whom did not know one another and did not live at the same time, God used those holy men. Holy men spake. How? As the Holy Ghost gave them the words, right? And that's what God tells us very clearly. And so we recognize that the Word of God is truly, the Bible truly is the Word of God. It is not the mere words of men. It is not merely a human book like we have libraries full of books. Some good, some not so good. But we have libraries full of books that are written and authored by men. But the Bible is not authored by men. For it claims to be the very words of God. And it either is the biggest lie there ever was. I mean, the biggest farce there ever was. Or it is what it claims to be. My friend, the Bible cannot merely be a good book, nor can it merely be just a historical record. Although it is a good book and it is a historical record, but it is far more than that. For it would not be a good book if it is not indeed the Word of God, for it claims to be the very Word of God, and no good book, no book would be good if it claimed to be something so spectacular that it wasn't. Does that make sense? I mean, it's either divine, it's either of God, and in the holy living Word of God like it claims, or it is an amazing lie. And I want you to see the fact that it is indeed, in truth, the Word of God. First of all, I want you to go now to 2 Timothy and chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's notice verse 14. We'll back up just a little bit. Verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Here's the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. Timothy was a man that Paul had a lot of influence on. And as Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he says, "Continue in the things which thou hast learned, Timothy, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse 15, "And that from a child, Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," the Bible, the Old Testament here primarily. "Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now notice what the Apostle Paul now says about the Bible, about the Scriptures. He says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." All Scripture. All of the writings, all of the holy writings are given, he says, by the inspiration of God. Now, we use the word inspiration, you know. We say somebody was inspired to do something. They were inspired to write that novel or inspired to paint that picture or that scene or whatever. And we use inspiration that way. But this word inspiration is not merely that, you know, that idea, that energy of just, hey, I can do this. Something pops into your mind, into your heart. That's not this kind of inspiration. The word literally, it's a compound word, and it means God breathed. The Greek word here is theos punitos. Literally means God's wind, God's breath. And so how were the Scriptures given? They were given by the breath of God. That's what it says. It says all Scripture is given by the, literally, the breath of God. The breath of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so, how did we get the Bible? Well, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God literally says here that it came by his very breath, that he breathed those words. They came from the mouth of God. All the Scripture. All the Scripture. We notice that it's not just parts of the Scripture, parts of the Bible, but it is all the Scripture. You know, if only parts of the Bible were inspired by God, if only parts of the Bible were the Word of God, how would you and I be able to figure that out? Oh, well, this is, and this over here, this isn't, you know, or this verse is, that verse isn't, this statement is, that isn't. What kind of a situation would that be? A very subjective situation, right? It's anybody's opinion then. Well, that's not what we have when it comes to the Bible. The Bible tells us so clearly that God has given all the words. Just listen to this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So, how do we speak? Well, we speak with the words of God, the words which not with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. I would like you to go to the Psalms now, the book of Psalms and chapter 12. Psalm 12. Please notice verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The Bible says, "The words of the Lord are," what's that next word? "Pure." Pure. "The words of the Lord are pure words." What is pure? The ideas of the Lord? No, what does it say? The words. The words. So what is inspired? The words of the Bible. All right, so in the original language, as God gave them, it's, the Bible says, holy men of God spake, right? Well, what do you speak? When you speak, do you speak ideas? Well, you convey that through words, right? We speak words. So we're talking about how exact God was. I mean, if somebody's going to write a book, if somebody's going to author a book, and if it's God, I mean, he knows what words to use. He knows the best way to communicate. And so God gave us hands-on. I mean, God was hands-on on this project, giving the word. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And now here in Psalm 12, the Bible says in verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words as silver." Gives us an illustration here. "As silver tried or tested or refined in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So we recognize that the Bible is given to us by God. It is inspired by God, literally breathed by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we understand that every bit of Scripture is inspired. Every bit is just as inspired as the next passage. And so all Scripture. I want you to notice these holy men of God that God used, how they recognized that God was giving them his word. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14. Back here in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. The Bible says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you," would you read it with me, "are the commandments of the Lord." So here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Hey, somebody here thinks they're spiritual, thinks they're, you know, gonna," because the Apostle Paul sometimes ran into people who said, you know, "Who do you think you are? What, you know, and Paul said, "Hey, I'm doing the work of God. I'm doing what God is directing me to do." And he says, as he writes, he says, if somebody thinks they're spiritual, he said, "Let them acknowledge this. Let them acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Let me ask you, did the Apostle Paul recognize that what he had received was from God? Yeah, he did. All right, he said, this is the commandment of the Lord, what I'm sharing with you, what I'm writing to you. Now let's go to Galatians. Galatians is just a little ways, not very far from Corinthians there. A few pages, maybe a dozen pages, and then you come to Galatians and chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Please notice verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men. Notice this. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I mean, the apostle Paul recognized who he served and who called him. And verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to skip forward to verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He writes to the Galatians and he says, I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked that you have moved away from the gospel that I preached, that's been preached to you. Verse 7, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So in other words, they're twisting the gospel. Verse 8, but though we, Paul includes himself, listen to what he says. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow. So Paul says, hey, when we came and preached, we preached the gospel from God. We preached the truth of God. And he says, if anybody changes the message, he says, if we were to come, he includes himself, if I was to come back with a different message, he said, let me be accursed. That's a powerful statement. He says, in other words, he says, what we shared, what was preached, was the truth. And if anything else is brought, it's a lie. Okay? So let's continue reading. Verse 9. As we say before, so say I now again. He says it again for emphasis. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do we now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But how did it come? Well, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did Paul recognize that what he was receiving, what was coming through his life, what was coming as he wrote these letters, did he recognize that it was from God? Absolutely he did. He recognized that. And others did as well, quite frankly. But I want you to notice that these holy men, they recognized that God was doing a miracle here. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, that's right after Galatians and chapter 1. Please notice just the opening of the book. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So just noticing here, the apostle Paul recognized that he was coming by the will of God. He was writing by the will of God. This was coming from God. So we see a number of examples. But let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. We were in 2 Peter here a little bit ago, but now chapter 3. So right back to pretty well the end of the Bible. Chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. An epistle is a letter. And that's why this is called 2 Peter, because it's the second letter Peter wrote. And it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He says, I'm writing because I want to remind you of some things. Verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. All right. Who do you think he's talking about? You think it might include Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, I mean, yeah, that's exactly all of these. Okay, a lot of prophets have come before. And he says, I want to stir your mind up. I want you to be mindful, verse 2, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I want you to notice something here. He puts the Old Testament scripture, the Old Testament prophets, on the same level with himself and the other apostles. Does that make sense? So in other words, Peter here is saying, you know, the Old Testament, the prophets were from God, and what we have shared with you is from God too. I mean, it's equated on the same level. Notice that. Mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And so putting that on the same level, noticing Old Testament and Peter here recognizing that what he preached, what he wrote, was the Word of God. Let's notice verse 15 of this same chapter, verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Okay, listen at this. Even as our beloved brother Paul, he's talking about the apostle Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also, now notice carefully, as also in all his epistles, in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. What is Peter doing here? As Peter writes, he references Paul. Now, I want you to understand that the apostle Paul was used mightily of God. In fact, about half of our New Testament was written by the penman, the apostle Paul. And so notice what Peter says about Paul. He says that what he wrote was scripture. It says in verse 15, our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, in all his letters, speaking in them things hard to be understood, which some people twist, and to their own destruction. But it says, as they do the other scriptures. What? They twist the whole Bible. I mean, there's some people that twist all the Bible. They twist this passage, that passage, Old Testament passages. And Peter says they're twisting some of what Paul has written. The scripture that Paul has written, some people twist. But I want you to notice, not so much about the twisting aspect of what Peter's talking about. I want you to notice how he puts the Apostle Paul's writings on the same level with the whole rest of the Bible. He says they twist the Apostle Paul's like they do the other scriptures. It doesn't say as they do the scriptures, but the other scriptures. And so recognize that Peter undoubtedly, obviously, recognized that what Paul wrote when he wrote to the Ephesians, when he penned the letter to Philippi, when he wrote the letter to Philemon, the Apostle Paul's words were scripture. They were the words of God. That doesn't mean everything the Apostle Paul did or everything he wrote or was scripture, but we recognize that there were some things, as we've obviously seen, were from God. And the writers, the holy men of God, recognized that. I wanted to point that out. That it's not like Blow Joe Christian, you know, wrote some letters to somebody to encourage them, and then 200 years later, somebody was like, ooh, this is scripture, you know. No, when they wrote it, they recognized right then in that day, right then in that time, they recognized that this was not merely the words of men, but it was, in truth, the word of God. In fact, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now here's the Apostle Paul, who is the penman. As the Holy Spirit guided him, notice what he writes. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Do you see that? He says, when we came, the words we brought, what we brought to you, it wasn't, you received it as the word of God. And that was right, because it is not merely the words of men. It is in truth the word of Almighty God. Now, you know, many, many books have been written in the world over the last centuries. Many, many, many. Billions of books. But never has there been another book like the Holy Bible, the Word of God. This book is precious. It really is. This book is not merely the words of men. As I said near the beginning, if this book isn't what it claims to be, it is the biggest lie there ever was. But it is. It is what it claims to be. Countless lives have been changed. We could go into the credibility, not just accepting it blind faith, you know, oh yeah, it's right, even if it's constantly contradicted, you know. No, the fact of the matter is, the Old Testament, which was all completely written before Jesus came, hundreds of years, the Old Testament, every book of the Old Testament was completed hundreds of years before Jesus came. And you know what? There were many, many, many prophecies about Jesus. Very specific prophecies. And Jesus fulfilled every one of them. Every one of them. And if we could take time, we could see that. The Word of God is pure. It is faithful, just like it says. And so we can see that God has given us His Holy Word. We're gonna have to, in part two, notice how God's preserved His Word. Because, you know, it's one thing for Him to give it 2,000 years ago to the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or thousands of years ago to Moses, right? I mean, that's one thing. But do I have it today? Do I have, and that's an interesting thing. God not only tells us in His Word that He gave His Word, but He tells us that He took it upon Himself. He took it upon Himself to preserve His Word, to preserve it. And that is a special promise as well, because we can have confidence that God not only gave His Word, but that we have His Word thousands of years later. And that is a blessed promise as well. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, for what we've been able to just whet our appetite with. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to treasure the Bible like we should. It's not a book that You gave us to sit on a shelf somewhere. It is a book You gave us to dig into and to know You and to know you deeper, to understand our need to be saved, to understand your way of salvation, to understand how to have that peace with God and what's going to come. You gave this all to us, and Lord, help us to give it rightful place in our daily life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.